Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, certified health and wellness coach, nurse, fitness trainer, educator, speaker, and best-selling author. Yeah, right, educator, and I see the next word is misspelled. Okay. That happens when you're typing fast. So sorry about that. But I got to laugh about myself and not take myself too seriously. However, I'm taking the subject that I'm talking about today very seriously because I've been there, I've done that, and I have a friend who's going through it right now. And it is something we really need to create awareness about. So the topic is actually homeschooling or public schools. I don't want to say versus, because those are two choices that we have as parents or grandparents or guardians or whoever we are. This is just a subject that's really, really deep to my heart, because as I am an educator and I taught first to 12th grade, and I actually homeschooled my daughter for a while. And as I said, I have a friend who's going through this right now. And so I just thought I really needed to create an awareness. How do we choose which one to do for our child or children? Is it homeschooling or is it public schools? What's the difference? Does it matter? Yeah. And who needs to make the decision? Is it the child who makes the decision, or is it one parent, or is it both parents, if there are two involved? Let's put it that way. So, number one, in our case, that was many, many, many moons ago. It was our choice because our daughter had some issues, and we did it. And we got an accredited program, and there are quite a few out there, and I just Googled it, and there is a link that I could not put in anymore, and it's https://, the word start, S-T-A-R-T, com, and it gives you some options, and it also has a video. So if we have time at the end, I will let you listen to the short video, which is actually quite interesting. So, okay, we made the decision together. In my friend's case, they made the decision together, ex-husband and her, that it was better because he wanted his daughter at certain times. And if she would have gone to public school where they live and partaken at some extracurricular activities, she would have missed regularly. So father and mother, though not living in the same household, decided that homeschooling was the best option because there is more flexibility. Well, now comes the next situation. What if that changes? If somebody changes their mind, how does that affect the child? So let me go from one step to the next and kind of point out some things, pros and cons for both, and then you can see where the dilemma comes in and how it affects the child and or the parent or parents. So I did ask the question, does it matter? And yes, who makes the decision? Again, yes, it does matter, and it is important that the decision is a mutual one. So I'm going to list some advantages and disadvantages of either or. Let's start with the public schools. The easy part about that is that everything a child needs for education is included in the program when they go to school from morning to afternoon, and whatever they need to learn is there in the curriculum. There is no deviating. It's kind of a rigid structure. And it has to be done that way. Everything is scheduled, and it does not really allow for any flexibility. It does not allow for being sick, because when you're sick, you need to catch up, or you need to go and get a tutor to catch up, or whatnot, whatnot. It is actually quite demanding and not always very conducive to learning, because quite often teachers have a preferred teaching style. However, each child, each student has different learning styles, and the teaching style and the learning style do not absolutely have to be the same. I have experienced that my daughter is extremely kinesthetic and auditory, nothing visualized. I need to see, I need to hear, and then I need to do. So for mine is auditory, visual, and then kinesthetic. So we're different. And what I had to do with her and all the students I taught from first to 12th grade, as I'm a teacher with a master's in education, I had to adapt my teaching styles according to the way the students learned. And in public schools, it's not always possible. I was blessed that I got to teach in a private school, in a Christian school. But even there, there's some challenging situations sometimes. So homeschooling actually allows for more flexibility in combining the learning styles, because the parent who's supervised by an accredited teacher and the student does interact with the accredited teacher also and has some other things going on. So I'm just going to point that out. The mom or the dad who are homeschooling, they know their child or children much better than anybody could. Therefore, they're much more flexible in combining subjects to create a more fun situation while learning. Almost everything done at the home can fit into a category from school. Of course, the children need extracurricular activities for social development. They need physical education, like sports clubs or riding or playing soccer or playing tennis or something like that. And they need to be out there with other people for their mental well-being. You don't want them to be cooped up. So those are some important things. But back to the system with the, you know, with the flexibility, I did it in both places, in the schoolroom as well as in the home situation when I homeschooled my daughter later on. So in the school, I was student teaching. That's what I was looking for in fourth grade. And the kids loved me to pieces and I loved them. And I had four lessons prepared for them. One was geography, one was math, one was English, and one was science. And believe it or not, I was so well prepared. I really had everything ready. I knew what I was going to do. And then what happened? My professor walked in on me to observe. And despite the fact that I was totally prepared, and my homeroom teacher was sitting in the classroom with me, I got so frazzled that I mixed all four subjects into one. Everything flowed. I mean, I moved from geography to science to English to math to everything constantly. And my professor was just wondering, what in the world is she doing? But she's got the kids in her hands. So every time when I kind of changed, unknowingly to me, because it just flowed and it matched and it all worked together, because the lessons had to do with one another, he just saw, the more I changed and the more I made things interesting and put activities in there that I had scheduled for the specific things, the more the students got actually excited and enthusiastic, and they participated and they raised their hand and they asked questions. And at the end of the morning, after the four lessons were over and we had a couple of breaks, and I just picked up where I left off, and once in a while I go to the homeroom teacher, so What do you think, Miss, whatever her name was, do you think that this is accurate? Do you think we should take a different approach? What is your opinion on this? And the professor just kind of like, why is she asking? What's going on? And my homeroom teacher just always with a big smile says, keep on going, Miss Thompson. You're doing great. Look at the students. They're loving it. So at the end of the morning when everything was done and my professor left down, I shook my head and I go to the homeroom teacher, what in the world just happened to me, to the students? I didn't tell them to be that way. What happened? I just know something went totally different than planned. And she looked at me and goes, did you realize you were the most amazing teacher? You did not care what comes first. You taught exactly the way they needed to hear it in order to be engaged. You mixed up every subject on the planet and put it into that lesson plan, and it added up to everything you had intended to cover that morning. You covered everything, and then some, and with so much joy and enthusiasm, and the students were there, and they loved it so much. Yes, your professor said he had no clue where you were coming from, but that you had covered everything on the lesson plan that you had given him, and that he had never seen a classroom full of students as excited and as engaged in the lessons as he did with you. So, yeah, that was an involuntary accident that turned out into the most amazing experience. And that was in public school, actually. So, yes, it can work when we're not afraid, but when we're supervised and when we have everybody else breathing down our neck, it makes it a little bit more difficult. I just had the luxury that my homeschool teacher, homeroom teacher, was such an amazing person who followed everything I said, and she knew where I was going. And at the end, when I wrapped it up and pulled it all together, she nodded with a big, fat, smiling face and a big nod and said, it's all covered. It's all good. So that was a one-time thing in public school. I don't have any other of those experiences. However, with homeschooling, we're so much more flexible. Anything we do can turn into a lesson. For example, I just taught my friend how to bake bread. The budget is not as high as we would like it to be with her, so I thought if I give her a bread machine and teach her how to make the bread, she can make her own bread and feed the family. And it's kind of like you give a man a fish to eat, he eats one time. You teach the man to fish, he can eat for a lifetime. And that's what I've done with the bread. Now, there is something else to it. In order to bake a bread, you need to follow a recipe, which involves reading and understanding. You need to know why the yeast actually is important in a bread and the correct amount. That's science. Making bread itself is home economics. It saves money, so it's also mass. And the whole house smells good. It's healthy food. It has no preservatives the way I make it, and it tastes delicious. So what's all involved in making bread? Besides measuring the flour, measuring the sugar, measuring the yeast, measuring the water, measuring the flaxseed meal, preparing everything, putting it in one after another in the correct amount, and then set the machine to the correct setting so it does it. Check it in between before it starts baking to make sure all the flour is mixed. That is fun. That is textile. That is kinesthetic. That is math. That is science. That is English. That is reading. That is everything in it. Plus, when the end product is done and comes out, the child has a blast. Oh my goodness, I made a loaf of bread. I can help feed the family. I've done something good. Where does that leave the child with the self-esteem? Totally on a high. So in school, they cannot do those things. At home, you can. Another one is when you go for another activity like grocery shopping, what skills does a child need to go grocery shopping? Instead of the mom doing everything, have the child do it. Supervise the child. Let the child choose the correct ingredients. Maybe even read the labels and understand them. Teach the child patience, especially when the stores are crowded. Teach respect for other shoppers. Don't just hover over something forever and ever and block access to other shoppers. Count the money at the cashier at the end to pay for the groceries. That's all mass communication, behavior, reading, comprehension. I mean, this is such a valuable life lesson, which actually lasts a lot longer than just dry theoretical things in a classroom. Or the last one that I'm going to give you as an example is going for a walk or a hike. What happens there? Well, first of all, the child needs to observe the surroundings, to have safe steps, to see what's going on. And then when you're outside, you're usually breathing in fresh air. Hopefully you're not going for walks in big, heavy-duty cities or right next to an airport. But when you go in the forest or somewhere for a walk, there's fresh air because the trees absorb the CO2 and give off the O2. So they absorb the carbon dioxide and they give up the oxygen, which is really good for the brain, for the body, for everything. They can do some deep breathing to cleanse their thoughts. They can draw pictures when they come back, or even there, sit down on the floor, on the ground, take out a pad and some crayons and start drawing a picture of the surroundings. Or when they're older, they can take a photograph. Then, when they're at home, they can write a story or an essay about it, about the walk, about the things they've seen, the things they've experienced, the things they've smelled and felt. So, what did they accomplish? Movement, they stimulated their mind, they used their sight, their smell, art, writing, maybe even math if they had to figure out a distance or something. It is so huge. So there again, flexibility, you can combine so many things into one. It is really, really good. So having things forth for you to think about, to help maybe a loved one of yours to make the decision, what should we do with our child or children? Think about it. You can do more research. I gave you the website already. And then you make your choices. No matter the choice, the child's mental, physical, and emotional well-being is tested. What's best for your child? That is so important. So I want to see if I can play you the little video on the https://start.k12.com, national.html, blah, blah, blah. You don't need to know all that. It's a K-12 online schooling program. And they have actually different programs. It says, since I'm in California, I'm using California. It says California Virtual Academies, grades TK, toddler, kindergarten to 12th grade. The 9 independent California Virtual Academies, K-12's longest established California online option, bring learning alive for students with an accredited, personalized program of engaging courses, caring teachers, and a vibrant school community. Multiple learning pathways and approaches target students' strengths and weaknesses. California credentialed teachers partner with families to guide progress and tailor teaching to student needs. rigorous, highly interactive curriculum enriches and inspires. Qualified students can earn college credits on select courses through a concurrent enrollment program. That's true. My daughter actually attended the junior college while she was homeschooled. So that helped her starting to earn credits towards college. Weekly community days bring students, families, and teachers together for fun and learning. Field trips, extracurricular activities, student government, and clubs help students connect. So there's one thing. Then there is another one, which is IQ Academy California Los Angeles. And it says the IQ Academy of California Los Angeles helps students become independent, self-motivated learners by giving them a strong foundation and the tools they need to reach their academic potential. Individualized learning plans target each student's strengths and weaknesses. California credentialed teachers guide progress and tailor teaching to student needs. Rigorous, highly interactive curriculum enriches and inspires. College and career counseling and community volunteering enrich the education experience. Field trips, extracurricular activities, and clubs help students connect. Concurrent enrollment program lets qualified students earn college credits and courses. Then there is one for grades 9 through 12, etc. And now let me see if I can get that video up loud. I can hear it. It's short, but it's actually pretty awesome. Just a second.
Have you ever wondered how online school really works?
What I like best about online school is being able to be here with my son and help him become an independent learner and find his own passion. Find his love for learning, and it's not about memorization. It's about really understanding it and knowing it for yourself, and that's what we get. They get an understanding and knowing for themselves.
How do you
do that? Classrooms are really engaging. I've had a lot of amazing teachers that make me learn and make me do my lessons, or not only on the screen, but have books like my social studies and my literature and my science. They also give you materials when they give you an artifact.
What are the teachers like?
Notebooks are online. We would love to help you.
We do the same thing that a normal teacher would do. We open that computer and the classroom's right there. We talk to students, we teach our lessons, and we communicate. That's the best part about the online environment.
Is there time for fun?
K-12 and our schools provide many additional opportunities for students to connect and to find the place to plug in, which is in the national community or the local community.
So then it says you can call them. So anyway, it's on that webpage that I gave you, is that video. And it's just pretty darn awesome. I'm not saying anything against schools. I'm saying, unfortunately, there are people who dictate too much about things they don't understand. Therefore, there are some challenging situations in public schools that did not need to be. And with the, I don't know, it really hurts my soul and my heart to say that, violence growing stronger and stronger in schools even, that really is so painful. Where is the lack of caring, sharing, and educating? Does that come from home, or is that in the schools? What is going on? Why do so many high schools have metal detectors and things that the students have to go through before they can go to the classroom? That we did not have at my time when I taught. But now I know of quite a few high schools that have that, and it's even trickling down to middle schools. So, do I say we need to homeschool all our children? Absolutely not. Do I say we don't homeschool? We send them all to public schools and let them learn the hard way? I'm saying not to that particular thing either. The purpose behind this was actually merely to open your eyes that there are two ways of doing things. So what I said is when you go to public schools, everything is laid out for you. The parent is less engaged and the child is more with other people than when the child is homeschooled. So in another friend's case, her child brought home an F last week in one of the subjects. Parents were never notified that their child was failing that particular class. Well, whose problem is that? Can a parent know when the child doesn't say anything, or when the teacher doesn't communicate, or the principal doesn't know and doesn't approach the parents? I mean, this is just, with this classrooms as big as they are, do you think that the teacher has too much on the plate and cannot catch up with everything? Or is it neglect? Or is it, oh, well, we'll give them a chance, they can catch up? Well, we're almost mid-year. Therefore, an F is really, really hard to catch up with, to get a passing grade, a minimum of a C, hopefully. And that is something that should not happen. So, again, healthy mind, healthy body, and healthy finances is important. The child does not succeed and the parents are not informed, what's left to be done? Either the parents need to have more time away from work and at home with the child to catch up, or they need to hire a tutor and pay for it. And the going rate is probably around $20, $25 now, maybe even more, because I used to charge that much 20 years ago. So it's really a catch-22, and that's why I say make wise decisions. Be informed. Be engaged. Know from your child what's going on. Ask him or her to show you every evening the schoolwork done and the homework done, or what needs to be done, and create a situation where your child or grandchild or whoever you're taking care of feels very comfortable and safe to show you and share with you and ask for help when help is needed, so you can prevent these tragic moments. And yes, they're emotionally tragic to the parents more so than to the child, because the child does not have the maturity to digest all that, but the parents sure do. So do whatever is in your power to help your child or children, and make sure their education is a fun learning and life experience, so they can go on and learn more and more, and they enjoy it, and it's not something that they despise. That is my main reason for having brought this all up. Again, it is your choice, but consider the child's mental, physical, and emotional well-being is at stake. So if you have any questions or suggestions, or want to be on my show with a subject that has to do with physical, mental, and financial health, please let me know. You can email me at dythomson@gmail.com and put in the subject line that it's about the Blog Talk Radio and you would like to be on, or you have questions, or text me or voicemail me at 562-335-4956. That's 562-335-4956. With a clear message, name, and phone number, and I will get back to you within 24 to 48 hours. For today, I wish you a wonderful and healthy day, and I'm looking forward to talking to you next week again. Goodbye.